A report recently published by St John-based social planning organisation, the Human Development Council, shows that the province's food banks and community kitchens are feeling increasing pressure from continuing cost of living issues. The report shows increasing use of food banks from working households and that many organisations are struggling with staffing and volunteering challenges. Local 107.3 FM spoke with the Human Development Council's social researcher Heather Atchison and data analyst and research coordinator Liam Fisher about the report and the various pressures being felt by food banks in New Brunswick.
There was a sharp rise in reported food bank use, and a number of different demographics are captured in the data of the report. It's not only social assistance recipients, but we're also seeing greater numbers of households with working income and also newcomer populations and even post-secondary students. The community kitchens and food banks are facing growing pressure to meet the increasing demand of services, so their operations are facing more strain. And then the report also talks about challenges specific to smaller food banks, as well as food banks in rural areas and Francophone areas too.
It's also just good to call attention to the partnership with FeedNB that this report was produced under. We've been working with FeedNB for a while now, and they did a lot of the community engagement work, and this report wouldn't have been possible without the collective efforts of both our agencies. One of the things that the data does speak to is certain demographics are seeing increases in the data that are beyond other demographics, or disproportionate increases. Three in particular, that's post-secondary students, people who have been in Canada less than 10 years, and families with employment income. So I think when we take all these three together, it really speaks to the underlying affordability challenges that not just certain demographics are experiencing, but New Brunswick is experiencing overall. Employment income's insufficient to comfortably meet basic needs for families, and then food banks are the agencies that are kind of filling in that gap and providing emergency food.
Is the rest of the country seeing similar issues?
We don't actually have data in this report on the rest of the country, primarily because we use data from Link to Feed as managed by FeedNB, and that only tracks data for New Brunswick food banks and community kitchens. But we do know from the Hunger Count report that Food Banks Canada puts out that this isn't necessarily just a New Brunswick trend, but increases in food bank use are occurring across the country. But we really call attention to New Brunswick specific challenges. And those are not only the increase in food bank use, but some of the things that are New Brunswick unique, like how spread out we are geographically, the urban and rural divide, as well as Francophone and Anglophone.
The question of why this is happening. I mean, obviously looking at things like cost of living and wage increase not matching cost of living. Are there any other kind of like factors in terms of the reasons why the need for food banks and community kitchens is increasing?
This report isn't specifically focused on the issue of food insecurity, but we do touch on some of those things. Broadly, income inadequacy. We're seeing that people's incomes and family incomes are not sufficient to meet household needs, which is driving the need to go to food banks and community kitchens. In some of our other reports, we talk about inadequate government transfers and benefit programs as well. So those are kind of some factors behind the scenes. But what this report does is look specifically at the agencies themselves and the organization employees and volunteers who are doing the work. And then it looks at kind of what challenges they're facing.
An interesting finding that kind of struck out to me in the report was this idea that a typical food bank can rely on 10 to 30 volunteers, which is really quite a lot. The actual paid positions within food banks tend to be either executive directors, managers, or volunteer managers. So on their limited resources, they're really typically only able to afford salaries or compensation for employees who are doing managerial roles, actually running the organization. The actual brunt of the day-to-day work is typically done by a good swath of volunteers. But when the labor market survey was conducted, we showed that the majority of those volunteers are seniors and they're aging, and there has been a noted decrease in volunteer acquisition since COVID-19. It really highlights how dependent food banks are on volunteers and the position they find themselves in when they're struggling to acquire and retain volunteers.
Another challenge that came from kind of consultation with food agencies in doing site visits and interviews is that paid and unpaid workers at these sites are not only providing food to those who need it, but they're also in some ways acting as social workers and providing kind of crisis intervention services, because people are coming to food banks with more challenges than just food insecurity, but also looking to address other needs. So the folks who are doing this work are experiencing greater rates of burnout because they're having to wear many hats and respond to a lot of really complex challenges.
In terms of the pressure on food banks, is this looking likely to continue? Is there any reason to suspect that it will get better rather than worse?
As of the most current data we have, that month's number of individuals served by food banks was greater than the equivalent month in the year prior. So April of 2026 was still higher than April of 2025. There might be some trend in the data that suggests the increase is slowing a little bit. I think the bulk of the increasing occurred 2022, 2023, and early 2024. But even though it might have slowed a little bit, we're still seeing steady month-over-month increases compared to the month prior. So currently, no, there's no sense of the trend stopping. But, you know, that will definitely be an indicator that we'll keep watch on. And when a month occurs where the number is less or equal to the year prior, then that'll certainly be a reason to pay attention and say, okay, maybe this is turning in the right direction. And what are we doing? And how can we keep moving that forward?
Do you want to talk more about the disparities between urban and rural areas?
Some of the challenges that they face is infrastructure challenges. Sometimes it can be harder to get repairs to their buildings if they're far away from kind of city centers. And also it can be hard just to get food sometimes delivered to those locations located outside of our major cities.
Can we talk a little bit about the recommendations in the report? What needs to be done in terms of food bank existence in itself and longer term solutions?
The report recommendations are broken up into three categories, and the first one is the more immediate stabilization of food agencies. We're advocating to increase annual funding to those services. That just reflects the rising demand and the increased cost of food. Continued investments essential to support these organizations, because while they were initially created to be an emergency service, they're becoming much more of a necessity. Our second section of recommendations is all around building capacity for food agencies. We're advocating for the exploration of some more flexible models of service delivery. One example is a mobile food bank. Something like a mobile food bank could really meet people where they're at and bring some of the operational costs down. Feed NB and the Human Development Council are going to continue to develop an advocacy platform that will help food agencies that are connected to Feed NB to continue to do the important work. One of our goals in creating this report is to give them tangible data that they'll be able to use in applying for funding and different things. Of course, the third piece in our recommendations is all around long-term food security reform, and that is around promoting food security, addressing the broader affordability challenges that do contribute to the increased need for food agencies. So things like increased investment in affordable housing and also affordable and quality childcare. When we invest in things like that, it can help reduce the demand on food agencies because people will have more disposable income to put toward food, which they may sacrifice. Sometimes people will cut back on food costs. Greater attention must be given to the underlying economic and social pressures that lead individuals and families to experience food insecurity in the first place. So those are like those systems level challenges.
The Human Development Council's report can be found at sjhdc.ca. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact Local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Coe for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.